Daddy, we live in the dream, got dead in the field. I am a drink like Champions League. Every 25 hits, even the only feed. Man, I'm about to be rolled like a Ferrari. We got a bunch, this is the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, so off we compete.
Although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
This is Corner Flag Talk.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Corner Flag Talk podcast. It's your boy John. As we always, we are here to give you the latest in football. Before I introduce everybody, well, just Brandon and Dania, but not just Brandon and Dania, but we have Brandon and Dania here. Please, we would really encourage you guys to just keep sharing the pod. If each was a chance to somebody, you know, we get along a lot more. We've been getting a lot of positive reviews recently about the pod. And we appreciate those support. Oh, here's the thing I really need to ask you all to do. Especially if you listen on Apple Podcasts, but Spotify as well. Leave a review. Apparently, these podcast platforms are actually not using the rating system that much. And are using the review system to really push pods. So any kind of review, please, anything. We would really, well, not any kind, hopefully a positive kind. We would really appreciate it. So, yeah. But thank you guys for being here so much. We love you all. And with that being said, we have Bran. Bran, how's it going, my guy?
I am good. I just want to say shout out to all the Muslim listeners. Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem, to all the Muslims who listen to the podcast. Hope you're all doing well today.
Yeah, I would have so butchered that if I had to be the one that said it. And we have Daniel. Daniel, how's it going, my guy?
You know, same as my brother Brandon. I just want to double down on what he said. So, yeah, everybody, what he said.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So, as always, we're here to talk about the latest in football. And so, way better place at the start than with the final ever face-off between Klopp and Pep. In the Liverpool versus Manchester City game that took place at Anfield this weekend. As usual, Johan is missing whenever they drop points, so we couldn't get him to come. But it was a 1-1 draw thanks to the efforts of Luis Diaz. In a game where probably Liverpool probably felt like they should have won. But I'll pass off the mic here. And Pat, what was your overall thoughts of the game?
I thought the game was really exciting for a general fan, you know, it was end-to-end to an extent. I mean, it's pretty end-to-end. I'll say that. It was an end-to-end game. It seemed to have a lot of passion, a lot of emotions in this game as well, and some quality to an extent. I feel like there was more quality on display in the first half in terms of tactics and whatnot. Second half just looked like, yeah, let's go for it, you know, both teams. But yeah, man, I really enjoyed watching it. And I'm going to leave it there, but I hope we can look back more a little bit later and actually talk about this game, because I do have some stuff I'd like to mention. But
yeah, sure. I obviously wasn't entirely neutral given, you know, when my club is facing off with these two. So, like, imagine me there. Every single time one of them get close to goal, and I would really like best case for them to draw. Like, I have made multiple scenarios in my head where, like, okay, well, if City win, it can be better for this. Or if Liverpool win, it better for this. And then, so then they draw it. And, like, in my head, I'm like, you know what, boy? You know, both sides drop a point. It's probably the best thing. And every time Luis Diaz got a chance, I was like, bro. Or when City win back the ball and go forward before Kyle Walker threw it away, get our next chance again. And, yeah. But, Brandon, what was your thoughts on not just the game? And then I want you to tell me who you feel came out better with the result afterwards?
Oh, but I mean, definitely Liverpool came out the better after the game. I mean, when you look at the two starting 11s, you look at the Liverpool backline, it had three youngsters and Van Dijk. And I sent a picture to everybody in the group with, you know, Master Splinter carrying the Ninja Turtles, the young Ninja Turtles. So, I mean, yeah, there was that. I feel like the game was, it was very similar to the game at the Etihad earlier in the season, but mm-hmm. I felt like you knew that this game was more important. It just felt like that. And yeah, for the second time, City got the lead. Liverpool came back, and I think the sentiments I had for that game at the Etihad is the same that I have today, which is if there was about 30 more minutes, if there's about 20 more minutes, I think Liverpool would have won this game. So You know, I feel like that was probably the most standout thing for me. I mean, like, again, we don't have any way to separate both of the teams. And, you know, they did everything they could so far. It's in everybody else's hands now.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Look, I'm not just saying this because of, that my team is involved in, but this is one of the greatest title races that we may ever see. This is the first time in Premier League history that passed the 26-game week mark that all three teams are above 60 points. There is currently 1 point splitting first and third. You know, that is how close that we are talking about it. And there are some talking points that come out of this. There were some decisions by both managers that we can question. There were some on-field decisions as well, such as Doku went studs in on McAllister's chest. What are we feeling about that? Was it a pen? Was it not? All those who think it was a pen, we could get an A. Yeah? No?
Hey.
A? Yeah? Brad, Daniel, how you feel? Pen as well?
I think that's a pen, dog.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it's a clear pen. I don't even understand how they missed that. You know, I think McAllister was probably trying to buy the, not buy the other, but he saw the contact coming and then fully committed. Because to be fair, I don't think if he had committed, he could have probably got a better chance.
Still had to be a foul, bro. That's still had to be a foul.
But this one, I honestly think that the referee bottled it because of the magnitude of the game. I didn't want to feel like if he gave two pens to one team, boy, and completely botched it. But there was some contentious stuff that happened in the game. I think in the first half, City probably felt like the better ones, not just because that they had the lead, but they seemed to be more on top. In the first half alone, Darwin Núñez got called offside 5 times. That's kind of ridiculous. But in the second half, Liverpool were fully unmatching the gas, bro. And especially when, you know, like we discussed, like world-class players, that term, I feel like we use that term more this season than any other season before, but at least like discussing what it means. Like, you know, when a player step on a field and there's a certain gravitas to him, you see when that Egyptian fella walked onto the field, it felt like if, you know, when Hulk had show up for the Avengers in Avengers 1, when he just come out of nowhere, right, to save the day. I literally, like, 2 minutes to beat on the field. Play Lewis, yeah, sure, with a wonderful ball. And, yeah, I think Liverpool do feel pretty good coming out of this game as well. Question to ask then. Both teams this season have played a significant amount of games against the Big Six. All Manchester City wins have come against Manchester United. Liverpool have 1 win against the Big Six. Is against Chelsea. Is there any cause for concern? They really have much games left, obviously, with these things. Liverpool have to play United. They have to play Tottenham as well. And Man City have to play Arsenal, and they have to play Tottenham. Do we see this as a concern? Is there a reason for this? Or is it just luck of these games? You know, this is like, what, 8 games we're talking about across a 38-game season? You know, well, 10 games in total, but 8 so far. Do we have any concern or nah?
I think it's a real interesting question, you know, because I listened to the question and I'm not sure if there's an actual reason for why something like that would happen, or if it's just, you know, sheer coincidence. I might honestly have to look into that and try and get an answer and maybe come back next time, because I'm honestly not sure. Off the top of my head, it just seems like a coincidence, because it's not even to say like these other teams in quote unquote Big Six have been super impressive. I expect City and Liverpool to beat Spurs, but then City versus Arsenal. I mean that one could go either way. That game is about as important for the league off of the table as the game today was. So that game could honestly go either way. One thing I wanted to mention, though, that I thought was interesting, is that I felt like City were the ones that got the better result today. And the only reason for that is because it is incredibly difficult coming out of Anfield with anything. And they somehow managed to do that. Also, Diaz, like, retro away in that second half. So Me personally, So if I was City, I would have really been feeling like, all right, we make it out alive. We have a point.
No, what I mean, to that point is like, you know, this is where the KDB sub came in. You know, Pep explained it afterwards, is that like, he did not see, like, they were so good. Liverpool was so on in the second half that he said in his post-game, like, he had to change the mentality of the team from, okay, we're going on to win this, to we need to get back the ball. You know, we need to stop them from going at us, which is why he brought the Kovacic, which is somebody who would have been a little bit more reserved on the ball and stuff like that.
I mean, KDB was kind of trash today too. Like, I would have told him. He was trash.
But the thing is too, though, is that why I think that Liverpool may feel a bit better is that Pep has only won here once, and it was a COVID game or whatever, right? So it's not like I said, this is somewhere that he has in the past put his foot on the throat to really get ahead. But I would say that in the past, that those were instances where City were leading the pack by that time, you know, and it was a case of getting the draw to keep Liverpool back, whereas this is the opposite. Where Liverpool are ahead, you know? And I think that this, not that it is impossible, but it's a place that he probably would have felt he may have needed to get more points out of. Because, you know, outside of, you know, the Arsenal game in February, Liverpool have been on a tear in this league, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we would tell ourselves of all the problems that Liverpool have. Hey, I am in this title race as well. I tell myself the problems that Liverpool have. And each week they go on to win. And so the best way to probably take off points from your rivals is when you play them sometimes. And I feel like maybe Pep may have felt like, not that he may have felt anyway, but it was a missed opportunity then. Because as the table stands now, Liverpool are still above them. You know, as well as Liverpool don't have to face, between Arsenal and City, they have to play each other. Somebody's going to drop points there as well. And so, with the fixtures that remain as well, I think Liverpool may have come out of this feeling a little bit better. That is where I stand.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me as well. I'm willing to go with that. Because, yeah, it does make a lot of sense. But, I mean, coming from Pep's point of view, though, trying to win that game today in the last 20 minutes might have been kind of naive. I think a younger version of him would have tried to do that. And the game maybe might even finish 3-1. Because Liverpool is not a team that you really want to open up on. Because them men are too good on the counter. Speaking of, anybody thought like taking off Darwin was a weird one? I thought he was having a pretty good game.
Yuan has tried to convince me that it is a fitness issue. And, hey, maybe it is. You know, it's only recent he has come back from injury, right? This is his first start back from injury, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. But, bro, like, I think, like, you know, City have been so much more susceptible defensively this season, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe last year was an anomaly, because it's not something that is so unprofound to Man City to be a little bit more sus defensively. But there was, it felt like if, you know, they were there caught in headlights a bit. You know, and you took off the one who was genuinely probably the most scary entity to deal with. Because we make this show chaos ball, right? But bro, he is such a live wire that you can't contain him. He took him off and left on Luis Diaz, who I think actually ended the game very strongly, but just was a KDN end product, you know. Brandon, you want to win in this at all?
I thought it was a very strange decision as well. I thought Darwin was having a real good game. And if I'm being honest, I mean, I wanted Diaz to come off, but I think in the when I look at the game as a whole, I think Diaz had a very good game minus the finishing. But I mean, you know, that's, and the other thing I was gonna say about this is like, I know all Liverpool fans are doing this, and I totally understand. And they're saying, you know, Diaz played very well, the finishing, whatever. We didn't lose the game, whatever. However, this is a game where three games down the line, we could probably be like, oh, you know, Diaz probably should have scored those goals, you know. Probably would have changed a lot going forward. So, I mean, right now, I don't think, like, you know, it might be much of an issue. But I honestly thought at the time he should have come off. And they should have kept Darwin on, because I thought Darwin was having a very good game. I don't think the City defense was able to deal with him the way that they should have. And when Salah came on, I thought, like, you know, Darwin and Salah would have had a real good thing going on between both of them. So, I don't know, boy. I found it was kind of strange, but, you know, it they didn't lose the game. And I guess that's all we have to say about it right now.
A few fringe players. Yeah? Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I have like one more question.
Yeah.
And I mean, why not, right? Yeah. Who's other man in match?
For me it was McAllister.
I had
Endo. Yeah. He was great, boy. He's been great. And like, we're gonna have end of the season awards and we're gonna talk about signing of the season. Bro, this one has been $16 million and has
it could
been
be him. Yeah.
And he's been insanely good. You know, yeah. I wouldn't go as far to say like he has been one of the he's been the best like six in the league or anything like that. But when we talk about it, like we talked about this Liverpool team missing the anchor, and like when they missed out on Caicedo, like that was a big issue with me and how I was thinking about this season going. And he's come in completely under the radar, and yeah, it took him a little while to get his footing in this league, but I can't say the last bad performance he's had. It's been months.
Not for sure.
And I think that's such a credit to Klopp and to Liverpool. What was your answer, Pat?
I had Van Dijk. I thought apart from
yeah, he was great too, though. He was really good too. Yeah.
Apart from that one lapse in concentration, where I think Haaland sneak back in and catch him sleeping. But apart from that, like, though he defended Haaland on a 1v1, and Haaland ended up on the ground. So I was like, okay. And if I didn't see, dog, I got to see an angle of it, like, Haaland down the middle like this, Van Dijk behind him, and the things that was going on with Van Dijk, I don't know how he even kept, like, his foot in. Because Haaland was literally cutting on both sides, and Van Dijk was twisting and turning. I was like, how he didn't even fall down? I didn't even know how he didn't fall down. But not just that, Flecken push him so that the shot just didn't. I mean, I thought that was kind of inexperienced from Haaland too. I don't know if Haaland like shaky going up against Van Dijk or something, but he could have taken it all the way, you know. Like, he didn't have to shoot from there. He could have taken it all the way, probably blow past Virgil, because at some point the man had to put in a tackle. And we see he could not put in a tackle. He had to put in a body instead now. He could have probably blow past Virgil and score there, or at least get a shot on goal. But, I thought. It was Van Dijk. I think Endo had a really good game too, though. And McAllister scored, so that's also something.
I think
for City too, boy, I feel like I can't tell you, and I just kind of, it might be strange, I can't tell you like a proper performance from a City player that I saw today.
Rodri was very lucky not to get a second yellow in the first half, though.
Yeah, I think the only person I thought that was real deficit, he was Stones and he scored, but otherwise I thought he was really
good. Yeah, correct, agreed.
And I can't tell you, like, another City player that I thought was very good. I thought Bernardo had, like, a real rough game today.
Yeah. You know what's the thing by Brandon? This could be famous last week, and it is what it is, but I think that we have been waiting for City to put down a performance this season for them to feel like is City, like that stamp authority, and we just have not gotten it. And I think that's a reflection of the lack of big game performances from them, or results from them at least, but performance wise as well. And again, it could be famous last week, we played them in 2 weeks, it could be that us is the head that they dismantle, and it is what it is, and I'll have to live with that. But you know, like, even on the Haaland thing, you know, we talking about the fact that they have not won these big games. I mean, anybody who wanted to actually go through the chances, not today, but Haaland has been getting his big games. I wouldn't be surprised if he's overthinking it a little bit right now, because it's a few big games running where he has been missing a few moments to be a bit more decisive for them as they try to get back on top of the table. The penalty on Darwin Nunez, anybody had any problem with that? Not at all with me.
I don't even know why VAR checked that. Like, I'm not even sure why they reviewed that for.
I mean, it's not real. That Ederson come out. dog, and the second he come on, dog, I know that one's coming in it. You know, in fact, I remember last week, guys, when they played United and it was Garnacho, I was shocked he got the ball then. Because I was so sure he was going to come out and clear Garnacho then, you know. More contentious.
If I gave him a red card, I would not even be surprised, to be honest.
I was going to say, squad players that played one of Liverpool's biggest games of the season today, Gerald Kwanza. I thought he was pretty good.
He was real good.
Bradley was also really good, you know. And, you know, when you talk about the kind of place Liverpool, that club is leaving Liverpool when he's leaving. And something else I was going to ask about. All three of the title race teams this weekend had to play their backup keepers. So that was a kind of interesting start. And yeah, Edison came off injured. I thought Kelleher was good. I think he's been good. I mean, I know you guys know I'm a fan of him. He had made some really nice saves in the second half. One on Foden, where, I mean, I don't give extra attackers for this pussy. But in that same shot that Foden had, Haaland was waiting on the other side of the box. But I mean, bro, Foden in the form that he's in, I really not gonna fall the man for shooting now. You know? On the other end, Ortega did end up making some pretty decent saves and interceptions as well. KDB coming off though. Do we feel anyhow about that? In a pretty big game.
I mean,
he just wanted to talk.
He needed to get out. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad he got to get off his chest. I saw him talking with Pep, like, when he got subbed. Then, like, 10 minutes after that. I don't even know why Pep cared that much, dog. Like, Pep is the boss, dog. If he say come off, just get off. Just, that's it. And yeah, that's it. But I'm just glad that Pep had the balls to sub him, because he was having a great game. Yeah. But to the same extent, though, nobody was on City. But yeah, he wasn't having a great game. And he's coming off a hamstring. Pep probably want the players to run a little bit more. So let's take him off and get somebody else on that could probably run. And that's it, dog. You can't go to that.
Yeah. Doku came on as well.
I realize he is the anti-end product, by the way. Like, I hope when the season finished, we could talk about this man in an honest conversation. Because at the start of the season, we was rating him, dog, because he get four assists or something weird like that. But apart from that, ever since them four assists, I haven't seen no end product from this guy.
Nope.
Does he even shoot on target? Is my question. Does he even shoot the ball on target?
Bro, you know what was already most... So, he hit the post. And
Hitting the post is off target.
What I was going to say is, all I remember, I don't know if it was Doku, somebody crossed it in, dog. And Kelleher come out to punch it. And punch it straight into Foden. And it hit the post. I was like, bro, no way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but the game was entertainment, probably. But, okay, so, looking forward, guys. Well, the international break coming up just now. And as per the rule of my seasons, year in, year out, we are going to do our end-of-season prediction of every fixture so that I can map out my pain and torture as it's about to incur. But I'm still going to ask you all, where's your favor right now? Or what percentages between the three as to win this league?
All right, wait. These are off-the-cuff questions. I don't want to give an off-the-cuff answer. Give me a
second. No. I do actually want off-the-cuff answer. I want to know where the heart is.
I will give you 40 for City, 35 for Liverpool, and 25 for
Arsenal. Is that mathematically correct? Yeah, that's all correct. Yeah, okay. Yeah?
All right. Dog, I honestly just feel like Liverpool don't have it, you know. So, yeah, I go in 20 for Liverpool, 20% for Liverpool. And then between Arsenal and City, for City, 35 for Arsenal, 20 for
Yeah, I think he said 45. I assume the next one's 25.
Yeah, 45, 35.
20.
Yeah. And City. And that comes down to the game between City and Arsenal is played in the Etihad. And I think that is a... And that plus, as long as KDB is fit, the game starts 1-0. Sorry to tell you that, John, but he lighted down Conor earlier somehow. I don't know how. I don't know how he's do that, but he just do it somehow. So, yeah, boy. Yeah.
The man
if he gets injured over the break, then cool.
That is before you come up against Declan Rice, bro. But
I mean, true, eh? But you just go to one side and...
Now, he played the Community Shield, right? And we still come out on top of the game in the end. So that is my copium right now. I'm not going to pretend like I'm overly confident about that game. But where I am about it is that, like, I think, like, if City had win, or actually, I think if any team had win today, I would have feel like we had more of our owners to try and go there to win. And whereas now, I think if we go there and we come out with our draw, it's still good because it's still in our hands and stuff. But yeah, my percentages is that.
Go ahead. I'll say after.
Mine is actually 35 for Liverpool, 35 for City, and 30 for us. The reason being is that I think the fixtures are very much in Liverpool's favour. And even if Liverpool end up screwing off the Europa League, I don't think they will, because I really think Klopp wants to leave with the one trophy he has not won yet at Liverpool. But I think the fixtures are very much in Liverpool's favour, as well as the, like, sometimes fortune is just yours. Like, I mean, we'll talk about Arsenal a little bit, right, and how we left it later this weekend. Liverpool do that last week, been doing it, and they go in and they've been doing it with their under-23s and Van Dijk mostly, right? I mean, as their players come back and they're going to end the season pretty strong, I think that is in their favour. And then the rest is basically what we have been doing for City for this whole season, is trusting in their history that they would finish the season strong. However, it should be noted that with the exception of the 18-19 season, where Pep admittedly put down the historic run he has ever done, every other season Pep Guardiola at Manchester City has dropped at least 5 points in the last 10 games. So, including last year, just we weren't good enough to take advantage. But, so we'll see how that goes. I was supposed to play a voice note by Virgil. So, Ollie, give me 1 second.
Yeah, boy, honestly, I felt like this game went down the expected route, which was the draw, both teams playing for the draw. But,
oh, jeez. My bad.
We could have heard good, though.
Oh, okay.
But as much as I felt that City were the ones that were more content with the draw, there were flashes from the game where players were trying their best to go and get that lead winner, trying to snatch it, because we had these chances from both ends. Like, for City, notably when Doku hit the post. But what I will say is, it didn't disappoint. It's disappointing from a City's fan. Obviously, you know, I invested in that differently because this is the last of the Klopp era in Anfield. I felt like I really wanted this, and I felt like this would be the best time. Because trust me, I don't care about the shape of Liverpool and the injuries and everything. It was a side that was inexperienced in the defense, and honestly, you had to offer Liverpool for that. Liverpool, if we honestly could have done a lot more on paper, but I felt like this Liverpool side came out and with the whole cool. But with Klopp and with being at Anfield, those Liverpool players were in a next level. So that's why the draw felt a little more impressive this time around. So honestly, for all that, it really was very disappointing from a City's fans' point of view. But from a neutral point of view, the game and everything, the game.
Yeah. I do agree with him in terms of, you know, Liverpool on paper may have seemed weaker, But I was actually gonna ask this, but then I watched City's bench and I realized it was the alternatives right now. But like, I don't find that recently again. You see, I am very thing about criticizing City right before we play them. Okay? Every single time they can hurry, I gotta say something about going and score next time. But I don't find recently Alvarez has not been playing great. And he kind of felt, especially since KDB become a kind of shoehorned into the 11.
Well, he's not playing great, but
he's not getting to play in his position. I mean, yeah, fair.
They play him on the wing today before he was playing back in the midfield. I thought he was excellent when he was playing centre forward.
Yeah.
And somehow that's his position. So
No, it is, right? Yeah. Like I said, it is shoehorn, you know. But then I watch the alternatives, right? Like, again, though, who's all nice to watch on the eyes, bro? But as we point out, these games, you know, the end product matters and he hasn't had it. I actually don't really want to talk about Arsenal that long. Other than, you know, obviously they go on top this weekend, but that don't matter much until we play City. Like, but the more important thing for me is really to talk about the Porto game that's going to come up. But I just wanted to say this one thing, and I hopefully that when all of this agree with me, that all it can be kind of nice about it, is that, like, I think, like, not Havertz or nothing, but there are a few players, you know, currently at Arsenal, like, you know, we talk about this world-class thing and whatever, and I really don't really care about what category put them in right now, but in terms of the kind of praise and reputation that they are allowed to accrue, it has been limited by the club that they play for, and the heritage has unfortunately become attached to Arsenal. You know, like, you know, when we did the world class episode, I mentioned three players that I think were performing at similar levels that we have mentioned for others, and Saliba, Rice, and Saka. And I feel like we are talking about players, the three of them, I think Odegaard as well, and Gabriel, that, you know, they could go into nearly any 11 in the world right now, and they would not be amissed at top 11s, right? And I do get, I really do get the need that they need to win something and to be put in any biggest conversation sometimes, right? But I think that, again, that they are limited by the club that they are playing for, because I think that they play for almost anybody else, it wouldn't have been that case, you know? Just examples as, you know, Jude Bellingham hasn't won anything in his career yet. Well, sorry, he win the Spanish Super Cup, I believe it was, a few weeks ago with Real Madrid. But until then, and that wasn't even while he was having the massive run of form. Or, you know, Konate has not won any league or UCL or, you know, squad players at City that only now becoming more important and stuff like that. And I think, like, because of the teams that these other players would play for, you know, Musiala even, that we would be more willing to put them up in certain conversations compared to the fact that, you know, these players are being held down by failures of teams and players that came before them, you know. And y'all can tell me I'm wrong. And again, I fully do agree that they need to win something to, because it has to be for something, right? They need to do all this to validate it with something, with some form of silverware. But I also do sit in the camp of, like, you don't just become winners tomorrow from being mid today. You know? They had to be performing at a level until that moment. You know? They had to be performing a certain way to be in the conversation. You know? And I think that there are other players that has benefited from playing for other clubs and to get the recognition they deserve along the way. And yeah. If you all have nothing to say to that, I completely understand.
I just want to make sure I understand the question. Is there a question or is it just like,
nah, it was just more it's not even necessarily like if they are world class, but I find like, and this is not something against you all, it's more like a general thing where the amount of praise or recognition then that some of these players are allowed to get is capped by the fact that they play for a club that has underperformed for a very long time, you know, and now they are put under that extra pressure to do something that players before that have done it on the World Cup stage and stuff like that have not been even able to do. And so now they have to do it. And I think it's a bit unfair to cap them in how you're willing to rate them based on the club, because not everything that they could be in control of, obviously, there are things that they are. And hopefully this year that they could put all those things right. But that is more the statement, is that I think that they have been capped by what Arsenal has become, the image of what Arsenal has become, and that there are players who play for other clubs that have been getting the right amount of recognition, you know? Whether it be, you know, Yamal or Pedri breaking out at Barca, or Musiala at Bayern, or Jude doing it at Real, or look how we talk about Darwin now and Konate now, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's because they are playing it, and I think part of it is because they are playing it teams that we trust to go on to actually win stuff, you know?
I mean, Brandon, you have anything to say with this? I felt like I cut you off there.
No, it's just like I just want everybody to understand that the reason we have been talking about world-class players so much this season is because Arsenal are the ones that bring up this topic, because they don't have world-class players and they need to make people feel like they have world-class players. And there's nothing wrong with not being a world-class player. Like, not everybody can be or is a world-class player at every point in their career. Mm-hmm. But that's just the way it is. And you know, John, I think you're being like, you know, you're taking a very positive stance on the way people view the club. Because if you look at what happened last season, I don't think that's any different from the things that have happened to Arsenal or the way that we view Arsenal over the past few years. So, I mean, I don't think it's unjustified or anything like that. I don't think it's like being harsh on the present players based on the past players, because it's what has continued to happen. And I don't even think there are players that at Arsenal that care if they're world class or not. Like, I personally don't think like they care. I don't think like that matters to them. What matters to them is that they want to win. Mm-hmm. And when they get to that stage, then the other thing is too, boy, like there's also this other part of being world class where it's very like we don't need to debate it at some point. Like if it's questionable, then it's probably not worth the discussion, you know. So mm-hmm. I don't know, boy. I feel like you're being a little disingenuous about, you know, like saying that, you know, the past has determined how people view you all now, when it's the
no, but Brad, you say
it happens all the time.
No, but you're saying it happens all the time, right? Where, like, you said last season, but, like, you know, at the start of last season, you know, when we did our predictions, you know, like, only myself and Yuan had us finishing in the top four, right? Everybody else had us outside, you know? That we went on to do something that was beyond, we was exceeding expectations. And when we fell below that, it was use our rod to beat us, like, if we were expected to be in this title race, you know? And yeah, they couldn't do it in the end. The squad wasn't capable to run the gauntlet that, you know, City are able to do, that Liverpool has proven to at least push City to do over the years and stuff like that. And so I don't think that is the same as title failures of the past, where like Arsenal actually did have world class players and did not go the way. You know, whether it's 09 or the years that Arsenal actually had, like, Alexis and Ozil and stuff like that. And, yeah, I don't think it is the same as those. But, yeah.
Yeah, right. Add to that, Daniel.
I think I first of all, fully misunderstood the question. I thought this was going to be our whole thing about, like, the debate of where, like, how much this trophy matters in classifying someone as a world-class player or not. That's why I thought John was going with it. Now I kind of see where you're going with it. And, I don't even think Arsenal underrated anymore. If, for lack of a better term, if that's what you're trying to say, that Arsenal are an underrated team, I don't even think so anymore. There are probably only two other teams in this league that when Arsenal go up against them, the people who just place bets, no, put it like that, not sure who to bet on. But every other team apart from Liverpool and City, Arsenal plays them and people are betting on Arsenal. You're not going to bet on United or Spurs or whatever. You expect Arsenal to beat them now, that's where they have reached, right? So how could they even be an underrated team if we expect them to be at least in the top three of this whole league? Like, that is what is expected of them now. I think that you as a fan might be holding on to how you used to feel from a year ago, 2 years ago, and so on and so forth. This, for you, is probably the first season that I went into ultra confident. Because even last season, even though you finished second, and that was respectable, you wouldn't have entered the season confident. And then that goes for, like, let's just cycle back the last multiple years. 8, 9, how much ever you want to take it back. But where Arsenal are at now as a football club, I can't call them underrated. And then how does world-class talent tie into that? I think you'll have a lot of players that are on the brink of it, but also kind of what Brandon says, doesn't matter as much. What matters right now is winning things. And y'all are definitely competitive. I had to say that. And I managed to shit on Arsenal, air plenty. And I have to say that y'all are definitely competitive. Whether you're going to win in the end, that's up to fate. But y'all are competing, and that is a testament to where y'all have reached. Now, y'all are competing in the Champions League, y'all competing in the Europa League last season, and y'all competing in the Prem right now. And FA Cup, no one really cares. So let's forget about that one. But yeah, y'all are a highly competitive team, and that's it. That's all that matters right now. That's it. Just move on with that. Will Rice become a world-class player? Most likely. Saliba? Yes. Saka? Yes. Whoever else you want to train to? Odegaard? Yes. They are all very, very good players. And who cares if Brandon think they're not world-class and John think they are, and I think maybe for some and maybe not for others. Like, who cares? It's fine.
I'll tell you
are competing. That's what matters.
And I remember Patrick telling me this should not bother me that much, yeah? But it does. And what does come out the mouth of people that have been unfortunately given bigger platforms than us? Because I think that they have a responsibility. I think that they do. Because they shape perceptions. And they shape your understanding. Because, you know, Brandon is joking all the time about a group chat that he's in. And I do it for another group chat of, you know, sometimes the kind of responses we get. And I think that those responses are the way that some people, like, I don't mean people that see football different. Like, the three of us, I know the three of us see football different, but the kind of conversations that we can have is different to some that other people are capable of having. And that sounds maybe a little bit egotistical, but I don't think that is not what I'm trying to come across as. But those other players, their perceptions are shaped by these people in the media. And I think that they be disingenuous, you know, as to how, not just us, but a few things and how they view football, you know. And I mean, not being around the bush about it, but, you know, people like Carragher and Neville and what's the next idiot name? Rio Ferdinand and stuff like that, you know. Honestly, he's so lucky he could have played football and he probably wouldn't have make it anywhere else in life. But
he might have been a boxer.
Yeah. And he want to box something, so.
I think he does box. I think he does box.
But, yeah boy. I agree, Ned. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. But I do think that they have a responsibility to be as balanced as possible. And I feel like we start to watch football not by listening to people like us. We don't. We watch games and we listen to commentary. We listen to pregame. We listen to postgame. Those people shape at least our initial understanding of the game. And instead, I can understand if all you don't want to agree with me to at least this extent. We are being forced to shape by players who have prior prejudices and biases based on their playing days and how they feel about certain clubs and certain teams and stuff. And they put their opinions through that hole, that shape, you know, that cutout. And that is how we receive it now. And so,
but John, let me ask you something, right? Would you not agree, though, that teams themselves also hold that responsibility in the sense that if they perform well, the balanced narrative the narrative balances out eventually. Like, you can't, like, for example, you can't be not winning all the time and expect balance. Like, if you win and you don't win, there can be balance because you're doing both. But Arsenal hasn't done that yet. And I feel like I understand what you're saying, and I agree about what people say and how people change the narratives of players and teams and everything. But what has Arsenal done in the past 2 years for people to think otherwise? Is nothing. No, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, there's no real reason to change the perception, because there's nothing to show for it.
You see, like what I see it is like what we did last year was going above what people expected of us and what we're capable of. This what we're doing now, I think, is of expectation, and so I think last year, instead of what the narrative could be of that the youngest team in the league with the youngest manager of the league that has been going beyond expectations and at least pushing what ended up being a treble winning team could have been highlighted in more positive than it was allowed to be. Whereas now, like any failure now, I think it's fair to be criticized because now that they are at the table, they are not being expected to be at the table. And any drop off of that is to be criticized, and I agree with that, you know. And yeah,
I don't know if this helps your outlook, but I see where you're coming from a fan's perspective, and that's completely fine, right?
Because you know what I'm saying, that's why is that, like, dog, watch what Spurs are this season, right? And the kind of, you know, encouragement that the media would give Spurs, and
yeah,
it's completely different. You don't know.
I disagree with that, dog. I don't think that's the case at all.
I think y'all got encouragement, you know, but I think the whole... See, because you get the luxury of stepping back, as we probably all should, stepping back and looking at the season as a whole, right? The 2022-23 season as a whole, and saying that y'all finished second, no one expected y'all to even finish fifth, y'all overshot your expectations, give them more flowers. That's fine. I think that the second place finish, let me say, the achievement of finishing second was overshadowed by, quote unquote, as people would say, bottling first place.
Right.
Because the first place bottle was, again, quote unquote, I wouldn't go as far as to say bottle, but you all were on top for multiple days, over 200, actually.
Yeah.
And could not, yeah. Dog, it is literally your trip to the finish line. That's literally what happened. Your trip to the finish line and finish second. That's it, right?
Yeah.
I think that kind of overshadows the overarching narrative that you're trying to push. And I think the narrative you're trying to push is fine because, yes, at the season as a whole, finishing second is an achievement. I think most people actually just decided to hold on to you all didn't finish first. And that's two different things. Even though it seems the same, completely different.
I agree.
Things.
And my thing is like the people hold on to first race second, like, I expect that from like fans arrival clubs and thing. You know, that is fair game to me though, because that is just part of it though. You know, like part of the banter and the raves and whatever. But then now people who are paid to be analysts and to be neutral in the media that don't do that does bother me. And now why does also bother me too though is somewhat a place of envy as well. I would say that though. Because I don't think that they all of the people who get to sit down and analyze games and review games deserve it based on their ability to do so. Now they may deserve it based on their playing career. And where your weight may vary on that is valid and fine. But yeah. I didn't mean for this actually to be so long. It was more faster.
No, but it's not a bad conversation, you know. Because what I would even say to that is that people will hands down prefer to listen to Rio and Carragher talk not so great sense about a game than they would care to listen to, let's say, Daniel Patek. People don't want to hear me talk about no game, even though, let's just say I could, right? Let's just say I could analyze it better than them. People still don't want to hear that. They want to hear Rio. And they want to hear Carragher. Because them is the household names. Them is people that you've grown up watching them play and watching them achieve and win. Now you want more of them.
No, but Pat, the reason
that's business at the end of the day too.
No, but I actually disagree with that to some extent, in the sense that, like, I think that, because I was listening to somebody in the UK talk about this, that he feels like those specific panels of people, they actually pushed on you. And it's pushed on you based on, like, how TV rights are now done and stuff like that. That you kind of don't have a choice but to listen to these guys, you know? Like, all right, all of us watch Man City versus Liverpool today, right? I'm sure nearly all of us listen to our commentary with Neville and Carragher on it, or Peter Drury. I'm trying to remember exactly who it is.
Yeah, mine was Drury.
Right? And so, whether it is legal or not, however you watch the game, tends to be these people all the time, you know? And so, we don't have a choice but to have these guys shape our opinions. Now, I'm not saying that they are, now, so Joey Boyer, he and Rio, they do a pod, right? I'm not saying that people don't willingly go and listen to that, to them. They do. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, but there's people who do that out of choice. We watch games. We don't have a choice in who we listen to on commentary and stuff like that.
See, okay, yes. Why I try and comment it is that if Sky Sports are trying to hire pundits, at the end of the day, the name of the game is how much views can they get to push their business. Yeah. And they probably just think that they have a better chance with that. If they was hiring someone fresh, let's say they hired Cristiano Ronaldo, how much people do you think will come to Christy than watch me and you talk? You see what I'm saying? Like, Christy's resume is already there. It's just, it's him. You know? Yeah. His face is his resume. And ours would never get that long. If you see what I'm saying? Let me not even say that. Right? I'm not going to put you in this. Mine would never get that long.
So, no. I completely understand it, dog. Like, dog, if you had to ask me to choose between, like, Ozil and all, dog, like, it's chalk and cheese, right? This is what it is.
Correct.
I wanted to talk about the Arsenal. Well, I don't know if Ollie even really cared to say anything about this weekend. Like, the Arsenal game. Ramsdale, it was nice. Arrivederci.
Oi.
Yeah, fine. You got the piece of that, boy?
I was not going to say
that. You know what you say? Until he do that, I tell Jordan, he having a good game. You know? Like, he throw the ball good a few times, but then, like, dog, he can't play short. He
throw the ball good a few times.
No, like, we had some counters that he start from, like, he pelted it halfway down the field and thing. But he can't play short or whatever. And, like, I'm not going to sit down here and pretend, like, you know, I'm fully behind Raya. I low-key feel like I may never be fully behind this man just because I seriously have an issue with keepers who's under 6'2". Boy. Like, I don't trust it, dog. It's hard for me to trust that, dog. I feel like, you know why? Mm. I blasted scarred by years of Ospina, dog, and I ain't able to go through that again. You know, every time, you know, actually, it's made a difference between Ospina and Raya. At least when Raya go for crosses, he don't fall long and feign injury every time. Every single time Ospina go for a cross, he's to fall long, though. But yeah, there's that. Well, Kai scored the winner, and Ben White get 2 assists again today. And I don't think, ever since, like, you know, in the Arsenal current form, obviously, 8 wins in a row. I don't think it has been spoken enough about, and that's my fault as well, about how good White has been again. He has been back to a very, very high level, you know. And, yeah, everybody else I thought was pretty good. Yeah, Porto, though. So, but, you know, so here's the thing, right? I expect us to perform and I expect us to win. If we do it, there's a whole other question. And if it does happen, if they don't do it, then I know everything I need to know about where they are right now. And I kind of have my piece of, like, well, if I need to find out who they are now, I'll find out who they are now and I'll move from there. But I do think that they will perform. I think, you know, today it was released, that interview between French Canal and Daniel with Saliba and Gabriel. I had English subtitles that, and you know, the way these players talk about the season, and not just on how they want to make stories right, and they want to make narratives right, and they want to make sure that Arsenal stay in the conversations for every trophy it has out there, I think they will go out there and perform. So, yeah, I think that they will go out there and win. I think they will. I think they took off Jorginho this weekend because they know that they need him for that day. Because, oh my goodness, dog, as much as there's other reasons I don't really care to talk about him, dog, and whatever, it's like the 15 or 25 minutes I watch of parties since he come back, I don't think I see that man hit one accurate pass yet. And
no, that's not true, dog. He aimed for the advertising board and he hit it,
though. And that takes skill.
Yeah. At least Zinchenko actually decent, but I don't want him starting. Especially if Jorginho starting. I don't want the two of them starting, and I prefer Jorginho start. So yeah. Okay, cool. Can I ask all you? How are you feeling about that game? I'm gonna say that we win 3-1.
Jeez. Okay. I was not looking at the squad here to see if anybody was on a yellow card. Rice is on a yellow card, Havertz is on a yellow card, and Kirio is on a yellow card. So that just means that if they get a yellow card in this game, they'll be suspended for the first leg of the next round. Yeah. So that was the only thing I was really looking at. I fully expect, is Martinelli going to be fit?
Well, I saw somebody who has somewhat developed a reputation of being a semi-dependent, I think he say that he might be out.
Lord have mercy, you should just stop there and say no.
I say no, though. I think my gut feeling is he's going to be okay and he'll play, but I won't know till then. So, okay. Yeah. But that's a big miss, though. Like, I think he's so important, but we'll see how it goes come closer to them.
If y'all don't get through this tie, I feel like the knock-on effects of this will be too great.
Yeah.
And listen, we just talked about how the media has been talking about Arsenal. If they don't win this tie, it's just going to get worse, John, and I'll be real sorry for you. So, for all that is good and for all that Arsenal care about, they definitely need to win this game.
You know, your dog is a positive person, dog. So, you know how if we win, how it would be. Dog, bring City after that, dog. Bring City after that, dog. In fact, nobody don't wait till the March 31st, guys. Let them come play with the day after. That is no problem. Bring them one time. So, yeah. I need a score from you, though, Brandon.
I'm going to go with... 2-1. I think Ole might win it, at the end.
As in 2-1 aggregate, then?
No, I think the game will be 2-1, but I think y'all will win it. The count one the effort wiggles is nothing.
Penalty maybe.
No, you know what? I'll go the aggregate score as 2-1.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it'll be very close. And I think y'all will win it at the end. So yeah. So I think so. 2-0.
Brandon, I'm here. Brandon. Daniel.
Well, yeah. I was gonna say 2-0, but just for the sake of being different, I will go 1-0. And then you're winning on penalties.
It's
how
on the last prediction pod, Daniel. So we could check him back when Arsenal lose 1-0. And that's exactly what we had to do.
Yeah.
Dog, I think the thing about this game, I just can't see Porto scoring. And the reason for that is because in Portugal, they didn't even look like they was going to score. So what the hell they can't look like in England? I don't know. But look, I think it's clear what Porto going to do. They have the 1-0 up, and they're going to make it very difficult for Arsenal. They're going to sit deep, and that Diogo Costa fella is pretty good, dog. And their defense is quite organized. I think Martinelli definitely is a big miss, especially when you're looking at potentially trying to break down a low block for about 90 minutes straight. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't think Portugal tried to counter earlier. I think it's just going to be let's defend and try our best. And hey, they had the men to do it too, dog. Like Pepe is a veteran in this thing. He knows how to get the job done. And the keeper is pretty good as well. So
I think
that being said, I still think y'all will score one. And then I really do think y'all are going to get that last minute winner as well, which would be to make it 2-0. But, you know, just to be different, I want to go 1-0. Yeah. But that's how I really feel, though.
Cool. Nice. Moving on. So, this is such a random question, but I asked you on this today, and so I wanted to know what was your view, right, Brandon? So if I asked you to take like Chelsea playing the day after we record, so we have no actual reason to discuss Chelsea other than I want to see Brandon wins. If I had to ask you, Brandon, to take 2015, 16 season to now, right, of everything that has happened with Chelsea from 2015, 16 season to now, and trade it for how exactly those exact seasons panned out with the last, for that same time period as Liverpool, would you trade it? Would you trade it?
I don't think so, you know. I don't think I'd trade it. I think I'd keep it the way it is. I wouldn't trade it. It's too difficult because in that period of time, we won a Champions League, we won a Europa League, we won
the league.
I believe we won a FA Cup. I believe we won a League Cup.
You won the league. You won the league. Oh my goodness, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
The reason I asked though is like, the only thing that Liverpool hasn't done that you all have done in that time period is the Europa League, right? That's the only real difference. You all have won the same amount of everything else, right? The difference is though is that Liverpool has constantly been in the Champions League, with the exception of this last year. Here, they've obviously been the three Champions League finals in that time as well. Again, same outcome as you all, right? But if you would have traded the stability that they had compared to, you're probably on course for a third double-digit finish in the league this year in that time.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't trade it, bro. I definitely wouldn't trade it. I think the stability thing is kind of overrated. Like, you got a lot of stable clubs that aren't very good. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't trade it, but it's have too much things in there. It's have too much good. It's have
good
too
stuff. Much big
games in there. It's have too many good things in there. So, I would never trade it.
Yeah. Cool. No problem. United won this weekend, too. Actually, we're going to just run through these kind of quick because I swear my life, I did not think that Arsenal talk would last so long. They won 2-0 this weekend by 2 penalties. We obviously did not talk about them last week and how Marcus Rashford decided to score one of the best goals for the season and go on to put on the biggest Hall of Shame performance we could have ever asked from the star boy of Manchester. And so, how are we feeling about them, guys? I need a quick one. We did our over under 18 and only
19.
And I think Brandon was the only one who was willing to give them 19 on the dot. But that was the option. That was not the option. So
20 it was.
Yeah. How are we feeling about it now? 10 games to go. They have 3 points since then.
17 to go, Epa.
17 points to go. Yeah. How are we feeling about them?
Bro, United, they just, I don't know, but you just never know what you're going to get with United. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to play. You don't know who's going to score. It's always a toss up for United. So, I mean, from now until the end of the season, it's just going to be watching United, trying to see how much moments they can have, how well they could get through every game. And that's about it. I mean, I'm not expecting them anything great from them. Mm-hmm. I'd be more surprised if they finish fourth. Anything, and I feel like that might put the spotlight on the other two teams above them.
Correct.
Rather than
totally agree.
United credit.
Patrick. Oh my gosh, bro! I just decided to pull up their fixtures, and they could so again. within the realm of possibility, they could so finish the next how much about 10 games or whatever with about 6 points. Mm-hmm. When I tell you it's difficult, dog, it's flicking dog. They're easy-ish games. Away games, and then they had a play man like Liverpool. So like their home games are like super difficult. I think Liverpool will come to Old Trafford and kill them.
So hear this, eh? The 10th place team has a game in hand above with them, right? Which is Newcastle. And let me say for argument, see Newcastle get our points over. Newcastle would be 4 points.
Oh, that's the game tomorrow. That's the game tomorrow. They win in that game. Don't worry.
I was trying not to mention
Chelsea.
Yes.
Yeah. They won a negative tour.
But okay. So but as of right now, Ole is 7 points. Do we see a world where Newcastle could pass United in the table?
No way.
When Newcastle could pass United?
No way.
Yeah.
It would be comical if it happens. I'll tell you that. I just want to check Newcastle games because I think Newcastle games are pretty hard.
Really? I don't think Newcastle teams have had that hard games remaining. I know they play all the top three already.
They have, I think Chelsea beating them tomorrow just because Newcastle away is
practically Sheffield. Dog.
Yeah, it's the worst team, yeah.
Hey, speaking of Sheffield, Sheffield United is the only team in the league to allow more shots on goal than Manchester United, boy. Hey, bro, you know what's the most mind-boggling thing with this man, boy, that is called Erik ten Hag, boy, is that, like, I never saw a man who genuinely is that delusional, you know? Like, he really lives in a world where it's a bubble and he doesn't hear anybody else. Well, boy, say this week, no team could perform with the injuries we have. Vis-a-vis the Liverpool-Manchester City game, where Klopp could probably put out a whole 11 of injured players that are better than Manchester United.
I mean, possible, you know. Yeah.
Like, all Ralph sitting outside is like, I never see somebody who, like, people go and tell me, like, bro, it's because he don't have a grasp on English, whatever. No, that is not it. No. Homeboy lives in a bubble. We have seen this from the man from the get-go of all eras come to an end. And the man say last week before they play City, we are hungry. Well, boy, them men still starving based on how that game went up. And, yeah. So, yeah, boy. Okay, cool. Nice. Moving on. There was actually a fight for the top four that happened this weekend where it went 0-0 at halftime. By the end of the game, it was 4-0. Hey! Cause guess what, guys? The most Udai everything happened could happen. And it's that you playing at home, supposed to have the advantage, could have players to run in behind and still get dicked down in the end. So, what's your thoughts, guys? Spurs versus Aston Villa. Villa obviously lost 4-0. McGinn gets sent off. Who we have as favorites to finish fourth between the two of them right now?
Ooh, I still think it might be... this is tough.
I have Spurs, though, honestly. And it's not even like none of the raps, just against Emery. It's also because, like, dog, these Europa knockout games starting, dog. Homeboy gonna prioritize that. That is just...
I had Villa on the tip of my tongue, but I don't know, boy. I don't know. Because what I'm thinking, too, is like, you know, Madison come back, he look real good today, by the way.
Yep.
When Madison playing good, it is a whole other thing to deal with. But, like, Bailey playing real good, too. So,
this is it. Daily reminder that James Madison was too old for Chelsea to sign.
I think Emery is a better coach than Postecoglou.
Yeah,
Spurs have a game in hand, though. Spurs have a game in hand.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and given the game in hand, now they could actually pass Villa in the table. I am aware who the game in hand is, Brandon. We all know Chelsea. Oh, it's Chelsea. It's Chelsea. Yes. So yes, Villa.
Coming in today. So
yeah. Yeah, boy.
Who knows, boy? I go in Villa. Villa already ahead, they'll stay ahead.
Villa upcoming fixtures before Brandon answered. They have to go to West Ham. They have to host Wolves. They have to go to Man City, host Brentford, go to Arsenal, host Bournemouth, host Chelsea. And that is all within the next month, bro.
Great heavens. Meanwhile, Spurs playing Luton and thing.
Yeah. Son with a goal and two assists. Hey, dog, I tell you, that man was going to come like a man on fire. He
got to check this, though. Spurs have
a death run. Spurs had a death run.
What the hell is that? They're going to play Newcastle, so they're going to get thumped. They have to play Newcastle, then they have to play City, then Arsenal, then Liverpool.
Yeah, dog, they had a death run.
Burnley and Sheffield.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Like,
so after it's sealed, that they're not coming in top four, they're going to have a bunch of Sheffield.
Brandon, I need an answer. Who you have favorites? Who you have between two and finish top four?
Boy, this is very hard. And I think the only reason I'm going to say Spurs is because I do agree with you. I think Unai is going to prioritize the Europa
Conference.
Yeah. Conference. I think that would be the thing that he wants to do most. I just think that Son will catch himself towards the end of the season. I expect Son to finish with
with plus 20 goals at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I also expect it to be Watkins, but I just feel like Spurs going forward, they look more potent on a day than Villa, because Villa have had many days this season where I'm just like, God, why did I captain Watkins in my FPL? Like, this is not the
right thing to do that.
So, yeah, I'm going to give it to Spurs. I can't say Spurs. I think it'll be very close, though.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I agree with you. When Villa are not playing at home, I do captain Watkins, though. Sometimes that's bench him, kind of thing. Because, like,
I bench Haaland this weekend.
Newcastle so weird, you know. I don't understand how Villa so good at home, minus today, and so tragic away. And then Newcastle was like, okay, we see that, and we're going to one up here. We're going to be great at home, and we're going to be the worst thing possible. We're going to be Jablote when we're playing away.
Basically. Boy. Okay, cool. Last question. Who are you think joining Sheffield and Burnley as of today to go down?
Oh, good boy. That is another tough question.
I'm sticking with my guns, dog, and I'm going somehow, but to be fair, they have a game in hand. I can't remember who it is against, though. But I'm going with Luton to stay up. Like, somehow. So Forest are
going down.
Forest going down.
Forest, really? You feel I'm going right?
No, Forest, 3 points ahead of them, and well, Luton have a game in hand. But Luton's problem is, dog, is that they can't. Dog, they's be playing well and just don't win. Dog, these brothers is putting good performances and then just draw and loss. But I don't understand that.
I'm surprised to see Forest this low, because every time I watch them play, which is not
they actually decent.
Every time I watch them play, they decent. They make it hard for the opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, this is an interesting one. Is Everton getting their points back? They aren't.
They got back.
Yeah, points. They got back points. They got already. Back
and then 16 still, right?
They got back four.
They got 10.
They had take away. Yeah, so 10. Now it's a minus 6.
Okay, because I was about to say, like, dog. Oh.
Yeah.
But, no, it can't be Everton. Damn, if it's between Forest and Luton, I go Luton every day, dog. Sorry, John.
No, I don't understand, think Forest. But,
yeah.
I believe in the dream, though. Dog. These men fighting hard, but it's just these men just celebrating in the back of the net. And not just doing it. Dog, the days Luton just put it in the back of the net, they also concede that same day, like, four.
Concede 12.
Like, bro, that is so out of time, dog.
But study, 1 year is back, though. They sub 1 year over the weekend. That could be a problem.
Dog, they sub here last weekend, too, dog. Against Liverpool, and he do nothing. But I didn't answer, guys. Well, you say Luton.
Luton.
Brandon.
I'm going to go with... if not Luton, I'm going with Everton.
Okay. Yeah, boy. Nice. Cool. Anybody knows how much exactly that Harry Kane has in the league now?
26?
No.
31.
No.
55.
No. Only too low.
Oh, damn.
55 too low?
No. I thought you said
25.
27? No!
Wait, 31 was too low? 31 was too low?
No, 31 is too high.
Oh, 29?
Too low.
What the hell, boy?
He has 30. Harry Kane has 30 goals, and he is on course to break Lewandowski's record, eh?
I mean, Lewandowski's slight, you know, dog. He's a slight player, dog. They start now.
But that is the most Harry Kane thing, as they won this weekend, I believe. It was 6-0?
It won.
My bad.
Someone told me that Harry Kane's form when his manager is in trouble might be the greatest player of all time.
Hey, but credit where it's due with Bayern Munich. Harry Kane himself showed up in midweek. When they needed to win against Lazio in the Champions League, we can't knock them when they don't do it. And he showed up in a very important moment for him, and so they joined the.
Over the weekend as well. Remember they were 1-1 and he scored the winner. So or two, look whatever. I don't care. I don't watch. I'm not gonna pretend like I was watching Munich. All right.
Yeah,
bro. Mine's a 17th in the league.
I don't. Unless he gonna go along. Oh, they see that?
Yeah, that was insane.
It was like I kind of flick around the corner. However, the more important thing is that the team that is undefeated continues to be undefeated. and is a Leverkusen 1-2 nil this weekend. Teller opened his scoring while Wirtz scored as well. Wirtz has one assist less than he most in the league. They are 10 points ahead with 9 games to go. It feels like a formality at this point, and it will take something massive for them to not do it, but I think that they will. And great achievement for Xabi Alonso and their boys after they also came up 2-0 down in the Europa League midweek, and now they are 2-0. So they have a must-win game in the midweek here. But given how the league went, I mean, I guess they could, you know, prioritize that for a little bit. So, yeah. And
this is really a good team, you know. Like,
yeah,
the team that they have. And I don't know how he managed to do it. Signings like Grimaldo on free, by the way, was just fantastic. I mean, yeah, he inherited some nice young players too. He got Hinkapi and Tapsoba and all them and as well. But like the Xhaka signing, the Grimaldo signing, and the system that he built for them,
is
amazing. He is doing God's work right now, dog. He really is.
A team that won 2-0 this weekend that would have wished they could have won 2-0 in midweek, and this is where we'll translate over to La Liga after as well, is RB Leipzig. Ah, they actually did put in a pretty good performance in the Bernabeu, but just missed, had the most Luis Diaz moment ever, and missed every opportunity in front of goal. Openda is the second highest scorer, is the third highest scorer in the Bundesliga, is Leipzig's top scorer, but could not for the life of him find the goal in Real Madrid. And thus, online sparked a conversation on when they watch how RB Leipzig ran right through Real Madrid as to how good of a coach, not manager, but how good of a coach is Carlo Ancelotti. What are you guys' thoughts?
I mean, look, I'm not sure how, yeah. Okay.
No, but people question how good of a coach Carlo is. Not the manager.
But they won the game.
No, I know. But in terms of how RB Leipzig made a lot of chances and were on top of the game for large portions and stuff like that.
How good of a coach he is? I think I see what you're saying. They're trying to poke holes in his system, basically.
Yes. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Look, I think first of all that Leipzig is a good counter-attacking team.
Yeah.
So if you're going to give up some chances to some quick guys that can't finish, Leipzig is not the worst team to do that to. I don't think it was a full strength Real Madrid, but apart from the excuses and whatever, if I was to look at Carlo Ancelotti's strength as a manager, the thing that stands out to me most is man management. I think that he is phenomenal.
This is what I'm saying, right? Like, that's undisputed with him. But people will question his tactics, his like an ability to like set up how well has he actually set up the team. And because I remember when he left Bayern, it was like a pretty well-known thing that players were saying things like training sessions were really relaxed, and he left players to to do what they want and stuff like that. That he's not really that in-depth. And so, is that really important? Is it not? Because, I mean, when you have a team that is literally littered with world-class players, is it really that important for him to be that tactically?
It is important. It is important. Real Madrid is probably the only team that he doesn't need to go in depth with because of the amount of beyond world class players that he has. But a testament to him as a tactician, for lack of a better term, on short notice he was able to build a system that gets the best out of one of their best players in Bellingham. And it's a very unconventional system. It works strange, but that system works in a way that they are top of the league, and Bellingham, who is the marquee signing, has 20 plus goals for the season.
Yeah.
So I think that's testament enough.
Yeah.
Brandon. And it's an unorthodox system. He built it from scratch.
Yeah.
I totally agree with Daniel. I think the question Carlo is very I know Madrid fans are some crazy sometimes, but I just think questioning Carlo is like not the right way to go about most of these things. Bellingham played false nine for the game. They don't have a recognized like two recognized nines in the squad. They've had so much injuries this season. And I mean, if we're being honest, I think that yes, Leipzig had a lot of chances that they should have put away a few of, but at the same time, Real Madrid definitely, if they had to, I think they would have gotten back into the game. And I think when Rodrigo came on, I was kind of surprised he didn't start. I don't know if he had an injury or not, but I think when he came on, the game changed drastically, and I think at that point they were in way more control than they had for throughout the entirety of the game. So I wouldn't think Carlo is the least of my worries when it comes to that Real Madrid team.
Cool, nice. Speaking of Real lacking worries, they won this weekend 4-0 as they seem to continue to march towards the La Liga title. Barcelona, on the other hand, this weekend, 1-1-0 through a pretty good goal by Yamal. That's actually 13 goals and assists from this season, which, while as a raw number, does not sound that impressive when you consider this is his debut season. It's amazing. And, like, I think this kid is something else, boy. Like, I really think that he's amazing. Atletico lost this weekend, though. But, yeah, I think I want to say about that, boy, about, you know, Barca, where it is right now. I think
more important. He does fucking piss me off, though. But, yeah, go, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, after you're done, you can talk about how you feel ahead of playing Napoli midweek.
Yeah. The Napoli game, going to be exciting. You know, I will be watching it intently and kind of nervous as well. But we should be able to beat Napoli. I think Barca could beat Napoli in Spain. 1 second. Alright. I think we should be good to beat Napoli. For the league, kinda done. Moving on from that. I am looking forward to what happens in the summer. I think the summer is a good opportunity for a fresh start.
Yeah.
New manager, new players, hopefully sell some current players. I think De Jong wants to leave. Not sure how I feel about it, but if he goes, I'm cool. If he stays, I'm cool also. It's whatever at this point. I mean,
I heard of all they play Napoli, Pedri and Frankie Gambi fit, or...
No. Yeah, that is a sticky one. But I really do think we could beat Napoli. I do. I think then we lose in the quarterfinals. But I think we could. I really do think we could beat Napoli, especially after I looked at how it was the first leg. I think Cancelo do them a lot of damage, and I expect him to have a really good game again. And I hope that's enough. I really hope it's enough. But yeah, but I've been more excited about the summer than anything else when it comes to Barcelona. I think it's a good opportunity for a fresh start.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Napoli also played on Friday. Well, they drew 1-1. I mean, they have been seeming a little bit better ever since Calzona has taken over. But it has not been exactly raining. Brandon, not so much on their league form, but how are you feeling ahead of Barcelona versus Napoli?
I just want to say that pizza was invented in Naples, and Napoli have a coach that's named Calzona. I think that's
very hilarious. That's very cool.
Hilarious. Another thing I wanted to say just before I get on the Barca thing is that you mentioned that Atletico lost. They also lost to Cadiz, which is like the third worst team in the league, and they lost 2-0. And I believe they don't have Griezmann. I think he's not going to be available for the middle.
And they have,
So that's, my whole thing on Atletico has changed drastically. For Barca, though, against Napoli, I'll be so honest with you, bro. I truly think that I don't like them at all, but I just feel like it's going to be Barca.
Yeah. And me too. I think it will be Barca too.
If I did not know that Frankie was injured, I did not know that. I knew Pedri was injured, but the Frankie one, that kind of changed swaying a little bit, you know.
But hear what...
Because he was real then.
Hear what... Brandon.
I still think it's penalties, though. I still think it's penalties. So I'm going to go with that draw. But so, I still think it's penalties.
I tried to tell you who started in midfield in that game. And in the last league game. And I seen Yamal here. I seen Rafinha also here. I seen Gui here. I seen Felix here, Gundogan and Christensen in the front six. Yeah. And the extent, I know Christensen has been playing DM a lot recently. But obviously their league isn't of the most importance right now. So I could understand if he's probably not starting some players. There's a very real chance we see Romero playing midweek next to Gundogan in the midfield. No?
Nah. Quick ask you, Christensen. We could cross the question.
Christensen, Gundogan, somebody, yeah. God knows who it might be, but yeah.
As he said, Roberto was on the bench.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind Roberto in that game, because that was one of them experience games, I think. I also wouldn't mind one of the youngsters. Yeah. I think starting Yamal will be a tremendous oversight. I don't know what Xavi does really see in this man. He is 16, though, and he's played like a 16-year-old. If we're being honest, he is talented. Don't get me wrong. He is very talented. But when it comes to decisions in the final third, he acts like a 16-year-old because he is one.
Yeah.
So let's just go with Rafinha, dog. Let's just go with Rafinha. Just make it simple, man. Shit. Make it simple.
You're starting level, right?
Yeah, I'll start level. Yeah. The man scored in the last game, dog. He scored against Napoli. Yeah,
Brandon, sorry to cut you off. I just was trying to gauge as to what the midfield may have looked like, and I did nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, bro, honestly, I still think that it'll be... I still cast split the two teams. I think there are a lot of flaws in both of them. I think they both have a very good striker up top. I think they have a winner every... Like, somewhere you look, you might find a winner somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just going to leave it up to the gods, bro. And I can't say penalties. I'm going to give it a 2-2 by the end of extra time. And I'll leave it to the gods.
Yeah.
Penalties will definitely have my knocking out after. Because all my adrenaline will be gone in that game.
So.
Oh, yeah, that could be cool, dog. Imagine. Is Felix even fit? Felix is fit, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm coming off the bench. Imagine him now in the midfield. It will 4-2-3-1. Him off of Lewa. And just go on vibes, see what happens.
Yeah.
Could be cool, right?
I probably might do that, yeah. Especially if you're playing good now next to Christensen deeper. Hey, dog, we do the whole City thing, and I forget to say, I would like to say this season is a further example of people underplaying how important Ilkay Gundogan has really been for Manchester City for all these seasons, dog.
Oh, God, you should just leave that, dog. When they win the league, you're going to be like, oh, well, you know.
For you, boy.
Fuck them. Brandon ruined my segue for when I was grammaring about Atletico and then actually go across to Inter. But, well, Inter losses. Not loss. They drew this weekend. They won.
They won 1-0.
Dog! If all you see the ball pass Tony put for Bissekta score. Hey, a man say, this is the center back version of KDB, dog. He don't lie to that dog. Bissekta, but Tony fast center back could real cross to the.
Wait, how about Tony put a ball for Bissekta, though?
Dog, this
given
is
that like, they are both center backs.
Bro, when they are on set pieces, Bastoni does not go into the box. Bastoni crosses the ball. He puts the ball in the box, dog. This is how level this man is operating on, dog.
So Bastoni took a free kick and was like, boom it in.
No, it was a corner and somebody, they pass it out and Bastoni cross it to the back post.
I like that.
We already knew that Inter are marching to the title. Nothing has changed there. And however, the more important thing is the midweek game against Atletico Madrid. I think this is one of the best teams in the world. And especially given how things has fallen apart in recent weeks for Atletico, vis-a-vis the injuries and form as well, even though they won last week and the week before, it hasn't exactly been clean. I think Inter should go through. And that's where I stand. You guys can tell me how you feel about it.
And I'll see in here that Inter rested Lautaro, Marcus Thuram played in the game.
Came off kind of.
DeMarco also did not play in the game. I just feel it's heavily in Inter's favor now, boy. With Griezmann being out, I can't see Atletico getting it over the line. The only thing I can think of is if Saul and Koke decide to conjure up some of that magic they had about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And try and beat Inter. But other than that, I can't see anything but an Inter win. And it's so bad, bro. I even going to go with Lautaro to score in the game. That's how I'm feeling about it. So
okay.
Beautiful.
Nice. Yeah. But I'm going for Mkhitaryan to score. Sorry.
I'm going for Hakan then.
Hey! You going for Inter to go through as well, but
yeah, Inter, I think Atleti are just so not good without Griezmann.
Yeah.
I think Inter would mash them.
Cool. And the very last Champions League fixture we'll close off with this is PSV versus Dortmund. Dortmund won this weekend because they remembered who they are. And as if they remember who they are come midweek. Is the real question. So, I go for PSV to go through still.
Damn. Yeah. I go in Dortmund. It's in Germany.
I'll be real though. I didn't really had that much faith in that, but you know what's the problem? The chances is fall to that. There's fall to that Tillman fella. And he's very unserious. Like, not just about playing for PSV. He's unserious about football in general. When I see that man play for the US, I get sure that he's horrible. Like, that man cannot finish.
Wait, he's American?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is
trash. Everything makes sense, dog. Everything makes sense.
No, the man is trash. He is trash. So, there's every chance to fall to somebody else. But, sure. You all see
Dog. I just like to put it out there, like, to the 46% viewership that we have in the Americas, we was just joking. We don't think he's trash.
I'm not joking. I think he's trash. Y'all are better players to use than that man, though. He's terrible. Don't just assume because he played in Europe, he's good. I wish Trinidad might start to do that, though. It might work. But hey, Trinidad play in Canada soon to see who goes up to the Copa America. So that'd be congrats to Canada to go to the Copa. But hopefully, you know, we can actually pop a little fight. Because although we lost to Jamaica the other day, right? So my hopes ain't really that high. But yeah.
Canada not very good at the moment. That's what it is. We have a chance.
So yeah. Brandon and Pat's only going for Dortmund, right?
I would just like to say before I go for Dortmund.
Why didn't you see us?
I just want to say we gotta start changing their name to Fourth Mund because they're currently fourth in the Bundesliga. I don't know how they fought. I don't know where Stuttgart come from.
No.
Jurassic Park. If you come mm-hmm. from, that's my FPL name next year. Just let all know. But you know, bro, I'm gonna lie to you. Last week I would have said Dortmund, and then I just watched them play, boy. And what I said continues to be true. They're just not a very consistent team, and you never know what you're going to get from them. And they scored a very lucky goal. They probably should have been down 4-1 at one point.
Yeah.
So I will give it to Dortmund. But, however, I'm going to go with my boy Joey Veerman to take PSV through in an alternate timeline.
However, though, you know, we are possibly facing a Champions League knockouts that could have, you know, Barca, Dortmund, Inter, Arsenal, PSG, Bayern, Man City and Real Madrid. That is some pretty decent names you're looking at there. You know, people complain about not seeing big name matchups now. I'm in this round going here. But nobody getting away from it next round, no matter who it
may be. Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be glorious. Okay, Prats, for both me and you, sick bro, I hope we are both in the Champions League quarterfinals. I really do mean that.
I hope so too.
And
sticky for both of us. I think we play at the same time, man.
Yeah, we are playing at the same time. I will have one your game too, though. But it will be on the screen.
Nah, for sure.
Whereas the Arsenal game will be on the projector.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Brandon, give me a prediction for tomorrow. Newcastle vs. Chelsea. Hey!
Newcastle winning
2-0. Bro, you are the worst. I mean, Hey.
All right. I'll be serious. I think we're going to win 3-1. And I think...
Yeah.
I think Jackson scoring 2 tomorrow.
How you felt about Modric playing Cam the other day? Well, attacking midfield. But,
Bro, Modric could play anywhere he wants and drop a 10 other than performance. He getting benched next game, so it really don't matter.
Nice. Cool. Okay, cool, guys. We can leave it there. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for being here. We love you guys. Enjoy your Champions League week. We will have some special stuff over the international break. We will do the predictions, but I have some guests lined up to come on the pod as well. And we'll get some content out to you guys as we enjoy the last international break before we go into the running for the final of the season. And yeah, catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. Later.